Christianity worldwide could get a perspective on the importance of the Word of God that it would really make a difference. Sometimes I think we've got so much going on in church that we don't have time to really find our first priority. You know what I mean? But the Word of God is our roadmap. And this, of course, this psalm declares all these wonderful things about it. Looking, I think we left off at about verse 87 and along in there. That's where we're going to start anyway, because there's some things in there that we want to review again. And I want to express my welcome and appreciation for our visitors here this morning. We're just so glad to have you here. Sissy Moore has been kind of faithful to us over the last two or three years, but she's moving away. So this is she's going to move to Colorado. And we will remember her in our prayers, and we surely will remember Donde in our prayers, and I do. Every day I have to say that God has laid it on my heart to pray for these missionaries by name every day. You know, missions is what it's all about. If we don't spread this good news, then we don't really deserve to have the good news. Missions is what it's all about, is caring for others and sharing. And we will pray for your financial needs, and if you want to make a contribution to that, you certainly feel free to do that, because I know her character, I know the quality of the work that she's doing, and it is without any reproach. You can believe me, she is a marvelous servant of the Lord. And
let me just say something.
All right.
The Sunday that we were there at Kimmerella, Donnie, the youth that had been leading the worship in the youth service there, they led the worship for the main body of the church, and it was wonderful. And so the girls there told me to tell you hello. And what I was so excited about is just their capacity to worship and lead worship. And their girls have done in the train. And so I wanted to say that the worship over there is just amazing. It is just filled with the life of the Spirit of God.
It's good. It really is. I think about the interesting experiences that I had over there, and I just get amazed. I don't want to take the time now to share them with you, but I tell you, that is an interesting experience. You are never the same after you take a part in one of those far away foreign missions, and you're not a tourist, you know. You get to see what it's really, really all about. And I wouldn't take anything for what I learned and what I saw in the four times I've been over there, and I'd go back if I weren't so old, but I think I need to stay at home. My friend Mary Elizabeth says, don't ever say that, because you don't know. You'd probably go back again. But anyway, it is wonderful. Let's look at Psalm 119. And I want to review with you and talk with you, first of all, about verse 87. Now, this psalmist has confessed an awful lot of experiences. We can't go back over. He has many, many prayer requests. And most of these verses have a prayer request in them, or a statement declaring how God's faithfulness has delivered and saved and brought forth. But verse 87 says, they, and he's talking about his enemies, have almost destroyed me on earth. But as for me, I do not forsake thy precepts. Now, precepts is one of the eight words that's used for the Word of God. Precepts, I probably can't name them all right now. Precepts, commandments, testimonies, law, but these words are used all through the psalm, the eight different terms for the Word of God. And they all are equal in meaning. One doesn't mean any more powerfully the word than any of the others. But what he is saying there, and this could be very well our testimony, they didn't destroy him because he remembered God's word. Now see, no matter where you get, no matter what kind of a situation you may be in, God's word is the light for you to come out of the darkness of whatever. God's word is the light of healing for you. God's word is the light of direction for you. That's what he's saying. I remembered, Lord, what you said. See, I don't know what all David knew, or whoever wrote the psalm knew, But the eyes of the Lord, let me just quote you two or three scriptures that support this. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, the eyes of the Lord upon those who belong to him. That's comforting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Jesus told Peter, said, I've prayed for you. Satan's desired to have you, but I've prayed for you.
Yes.
And that's comforting. John 10 says, my sheep know my voice, and another one they will not follow. And that's comforting. And Romans 8:38 talks about nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. But you see, you don't know this unless you know the Word. And ignorance of God's Word is the greatest hindrance to the successful walk of the Christian life. And there's less emphasis on it all over this nation. I can't speak for other nations. One of the pastors in Mexico told me 3 or 4 years ago, what is the problem?
It's a ringing.
Do you hear it? I hear a little tingling. But can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. We've never heard that before.
Y'all want to talk about the Word?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you're ready, though.
Yeah.
Okay, you can hear now.
Yeah.
Okay. But you see, everything that's in Psalm 119 has your name on it. Did you know that? The Bible is written for the church. Every word of it, from Genesis to Revelation, it's all alive. There's none of it that's dead. There's none of it that's out of use. Every part of the Word of God is for every member of the family of God. And this, I think, probably more so than any of the other parts of Psalms, because it's so directed to your and my obedience to the Word of God. You see, the reason that he wasn't destroyed, because he remembered what God said about who he was and what God was to him. And we need to know that. You see, ignorance never gives any result. Knowledge is powerful. And I've heard preachers stand in pulpits and just poo-poo anybody that believed in knowledge and in learning. They'd laugh at us. Well, see, that's ignorance.
Yeah.
We need to know God. We need to know his Word. We need to know his character. We need to know his promises. And you see, there's no substitute. Peter said in closing in his epistles, he said, but you grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You grow in that. And the more you know of God's Word and practice it, don't you know, knowledge without application is just sterile. It's just word, just little paper, and we print on it. But the Word of God is alive, and when it becomes alive in us, then it serves these purposes of keeping us, because we remember who we are and what he has said. And that all of that is included in this. You see, don't neglect God's Word. The more you know, the more you understand, the more you can react to it, the richer and fuller your life will be. Psalm 41, I have so many references. We'll never get through with this. We'll still be in this when the trumpet sounds. But Psalm 41 has some wonderful things in it. Verse 11 of Psalm 41, there are three verses there that are just wonderful. By this I know that thou art pleased with me, because mine enemy does not shout in triumph over me.
Amen.
Boy, that's good, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
The psalmist says, God's pleased with me because my enemy can't defeat me. As for me, thou dost hold me in my integrity, thou dost set me in thy presence forever. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. You understand what he's saying? He said, I haven't been destroyed. God is pleased because I've leaned on his word and because he has me secure. He has upheld me with his hand in my integrity. And my integrity comes from my obedience to the word of God. We're more than conquerors, you see, if we want to be. We're more than conquerors. It's our choice. A perfect example of this was Richard Wurmbrand. If ever anybody tried to destroy a man, they tried to destroy him. But they couldn't destroy him because he remembered God's word. And when they came to get him to arrest him, he and his wife joined hands in the middle of the road. They saw the police car coming down the road. They got in the middle of the road, joined hands, and they sang there a hymn of praise to God. Can you imagine that? And they hauled him off and took him off to prison, kept him in prison for years, kept him in solitary confinement for many, many, many months. But God had him released so that he could travel through this nation. And my life was changed when I was in their company. I went to the Catholic Church. I went to the Episcopal Church. I went to the Baptist Church. I went to Christian Rise Fellowship. They went to made a circuit in this town, and I didn't miss a service.
Oh.
And every time I looked at them, I realized the marvelous sovereign power of God to protect them and to bring them here to encourage us, because we are so at ease in Zion.
Yeah, right.
We are so comfortable, this nation. God help us.
Yes.
God help us. Billy Graham said years ago, if God doesn't judge America for her sins, he'll have to call Sodom and Gomorrah up and apologize to them.
I heard that.
You know, I can quote Billy Graham with great honor.
Yes.
I say that he's the greatest theologian, the greatest evangelist of character and integrity that my generation
yes.
has known. So we need to realize that we've got to remember who God is and what he has promised to us. Skipping on down to 88, he says, revive me according to thy loving kindness so that I may keep the testimony of thy truth. You see, every day we should say, Lord, give me new strength. Lord, give me your life. Lord, strengthen me. Lord, revive me. Lord, don't let me die. Don't let me grow stale. Don't let me get inactive. Revive me. It means to give me life again. It comes from the Spanish word viva, which means life. Give it again. Revive me. See, a revival is a shot in the spiritual arm for those believers. Not revival, it's for the church, you see. And if the church gets revived, then the church can evangelize. Boy, we need this. This is the quickening of the life of God in our hearts. The greatest need we have is to keep on fire, keep on the firing line through an input of God's holy power in our lives daily. God's word is alive. There's life in the word, as Joyce Meyer says. The word is alive. That's why you can pick up. I spent 3 years in John's gospel one time, and have been in it 2 or 3 times since that, and pick it up, and it's as new as the morning advocate. I mean, it's never, ever, 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 none of it. Now, John's gospel, none of the Bible ever loses that great amount of strength and input that it has into our lives. Powerful. Bible itself says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's the only weapon that's mentioned in the Christian's armor. You know, you got all this stuff to put on, but you got something you better take in your hand. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Verse 89 is well known. This starts a new section of 8 verses. It's divided into little sections of 8 verses according to the Hebrew alphabet. This is beautiful. We know this. We pay lip service to it. It's in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, that the grass withers and the flower fades away, but the word of the Lord lasts forever. He said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled.
Yes.
That just comforts us because, you know, no smart aleck, no politician,
uh-huh.
No communist.
That's right.
Nobody can ever change it. It's settled. It was, it is, it will be. It'll never, ever, ever be changed. The flower fades. The grass withers. Heaven and earth will pass away. It can all be destroyed, Peter says. And we know it is. And you know, that's to me, and this is ugly. Pray for me. I think that we are so foolish when we put our investments of time, strength, energy, and finances into something that's not going to last. When we need to put our time, our energy, our strength, and our finances in the Word of God. In something like Dondi is talking about. In something like what Ali is doing in Mexico, what the Mathenas are doing in Africa. By the way, the Mathenas have a beautiful and fine church in Zambia now, outside of Kenya. Big church. Isn't that wonderful? You see, this Word is going to last forever, and what it accomplishes in the lives of the people who hear it, receive it, believe it, and obey it. Is going to last forever. That's heaven's throng. That's the bride of Christ. That's the church. That's the family of God. But it's the only thing that's going to ever amount to anything. Do you agree with me?
Yeah.
That's what the Bible says, that it lasts forever. Jesus quotes it. Peter quotes it. Peter says in 1 Peter, this is the word that was preached to you. And then he quotes Isaiah, what Isaiah says about the word. Heaven and earth will pass away, grass withers, flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Quoted in the New Testament. And verses 90 through 93, 92, the psalmist tells what strength has come from the faithfulness of God's word. We'll read, look at the verse. Thy faithfulness continues through all generations. How many of you realize when the sun rose this morning, just like it rose yesterday, just like it rose 100 years, just like it's going to rise every day until Jesus comes? It never fails. God faithfully keeps everything moving in every generation, throughout all generations. You establish the earth and it stands. Isn't it amazing that it never changes? It never varies. It stands and it moves in the kind of movement that makes the seasons, and the seasons give us our food. You ever stop and think about
yes.
how totally dependent we are upon God
yes.
and upon His faithfulness? It's just more than we can just really imagine, but that is so powerful to think about, that God never quits. God never fails throughout all generations. He keeps things moving in the direction that they have to move. Its productivity remains the same. You know, there's the fish in the river. There's always enough. Isn't that amazing? And though nations are hungry, and they are, it's because that sin and rejection of God has been so prime. I mean, wicked government people. Let me tell you, people suffer when wickedness abounds. And you cannot rise above your leadership. Whatever leadership demands and provides, that's what the people are going to have to live with. But God's faithfulness continues, goes on and on and on. You know, when after the flood, God promised Noah seed time and harvest. It'll always be this way. Isn't that amazing? Seed time, there's a time to plant. There'll always be a time to harvest. And it never, ever, ever would change. A generation comes. Now the generation goes, but the earth remains the same, because God's word has said from seed time to harvest, and He said, I'll never again destroy the earth with water. And He hasn't, and He won't. It'll be destroyed. Peter says it'll be destroyed with fire, but we just wait and see, won't we?
Yeah.
By God's grace, we won't be around. We just don't know the future. Nobody else does. Don't believe anybody's stuff, because they don't know any more about it than we do. But I tell you what, let me tell you the real theology of the end time. You want it?
Yes.
Keep your lamp trimmed.
Oh, yes.
Out full of oil and your wick trimmed.
Uh-huh.
Keep yourself in readiness.
Mm-hmm.
You see, don't worry if you're ready. It's fine, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And don't worry about being given time or to get ready. Jesus said it'll come as a thief in the night. But in the meantime, God's faithfulness keeps us going and keeps us blessed. And keeps us where we need and where we're supposed to be. Verse 91, that all creation, you see, serves God. Verse 91 says, they, that is the earth and everything in the earth and all generations, stand this day according to thine ordinances. God said it, and we're here, and things are going to move on, because He has ordained that it be this way. For all these things are thy servants. Let me tell you something, friends. We don't run anything. We serve a God who is in total control
yes.
of everything.
Right.
And God has appointed men with wisdom for industry, men with wisdom for invention. But it all goes back to His sovereign authority. We are servants of the Most High. There's no higher position. There's no demotion. You can't go any lower than a servant. And there's no promotion. You can't be any higher than a servant. But we all serve Him, and everything He made serves Him.
But it says, your life
God endure to this day, for all things serve you.
Yes, all things serve you. All things are your servants, God's servants. In thy law, if thy law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. Mm-hmm. Now, that word affliction is mentioned a number of times. I think it's 9 times, maybe 7. I put them down 7 times in Psalm 101, 119. Afflictions. How many of you will agree, though you don't want to, that afflictions are a part of life?
Yeah.
God will get your attention. He has ways of getting our attention. The psalmist said back, I think it's 67, 75, but he said, Before I went astray, I was afflicted, but now I know thy word. Think about that. Affliction is a part of the normal life activity of the child of God. You will have afflictions. How would you ever strengthen your spiritual muscles if you didn't have anything to test you? Well, I know it doesn't make you happy. But still and all, it says, if I had not known, this is wonderful. He said, your law, if I had known your law, I would have died in my afflictions. If I had not known, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You say, well, that's New Testament. That's the fulfilling of the law that Jesus came to do. He's talking about the word. If he had not known what God said, he could not have lived through his afflictions. Think about it. That would be, you know, we don't know if David wrote it or not. Some writers say he did, some writers say he didn't. But it would be a good thing that David would say that because he knew what God had told him, so he was able to survive all of his afflictions. I'll never forget thy precepts. Now, precepts means the word, too. Eight terms for it. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have revived me. How many of you, when you're down and out, you're suffering, you're in sorrow, you remember something the Lord said? That's what he's saying here. He said, I remember what you said, so I've survived. See, everybody that calls himself a believer should be able to testify to these blessings. Right? You know, it's amazing to me that in the New Testament times, there were no Bibles. There were a few copies of the Old Testament, but they were not bound together pretty like this so you could tuck it under your arm and go to meeting. They were on scrolls and parchments. Most of them were stored away in the synagogues. But when God put Paul in prison and instructed him to write the instructions to the early churches, it was preserved so that we can know and obey. And we are the laziest generation that's ever been on the face of the earth because there's less interest. And I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about the nation. There's less interest in the Word of God all the time. And one of the pastors in Mexico told me that. He said, our people don't love the Word of God like they used to. You see, and we have it. Living Bible, Message, King James, New King James, New American Standard, everything in the world, and some of us, I bet some of you got 10 Bibles in your house. And different kinds. And of seminars, tapes, meetings like this. But you see, this meeting, now not because of me, but because we're in the Word of God, we ought to have to meet out there in the auditorium. And we ought to have to get there early in order to get seats. There ought to be far more interest in Bible than in football.
Yes, that's right.
That's right. No matter how much you love football, it ain't going to take you to heaven.
Right.
It's not going to show you how to live a life in a victory in Christ.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? But you know, Jesus said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. And that means King James English. Wax cold means grow cold. Because iniquity doth abound, he said. Because there's sin and problems everywhere. People would just give up. I get a little newspaper. Any of you get the Herald of His Coming? Isn't it good, Joyce? It's one of the finest things I've ever read. And the front page article and says how to stand in faith in the perilous times in which we live. Don't run and hide. Don't moan and groan and complain. Don't be discouraged. We are to live victoriously and let our light shine in the midst of the darkness of this generation. How else is the world going to have any testimony to the power of God if we don't obey the God and let it shine through us in all of this conflict that we're in? You need to subscribe to that. Every one of you need to get that. If you call me at home, I'll give you the address. It's the best thing you'll nearly ever read. I've never found an error in it. Who else is familiar with it? The Herald of His Coming, Joyce and Nell. It's really good. One of the recent issues, I think it comes every 2 weeks, huh? Because I get so much mail, I can't keep up with what comes where. But the last issue was the power of God's Word in the believer's life. It was tremendous. It's encouraging to know that there's somebody publishing something that encourages everybody who will read it. Going on to the next verse. But if your law hadn't been my delight, if I hadn't just delighted myself in your law, I couldn't have made it. That's probably what the message would say. Couldn't have made it, you know. Everybody read the message. Most preachers, you know, some preachers don't think it's worth anything, but it really is interesting and amusing. It's really makes it real, just right down on street level to look at it. I will never forget thy precepts, for by them thou hast revived me. You've given me life through your word. How many of you remember when you were saved or when the Holy Spirit came into your life, how the Bible became a new book? Did that happen to you? I mean, it took neon lights throughout all the pages just sprang up. I mean, I went crazy. I never had seen anything as glorious and wonderful in all my life. It almost had legs. You remember? That's the way it ought to be. It should be just that alive in our hearts and our lives every day. I'm thine. Here's a wonderful prayer. He says in verse 94, I'm thine. Save me, for I have sought thy precepts. You save me, Lord, because I've been looking at your word. Save me, Lord. I'm seeking after your word. Save me. What a beautiful prayer request. How simple that is. How many of you realize that our eloquence does not impress God?
Yes.
Keep me, Lord. Save me, Lord. Show me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Strengthen me, Lord. You see, and he hears that as much as he hears the eloquence of long, educated theological terms. Talk to him. He speaks your language. He knows our hearts.
Yes.
How simple that is. Save me. Save me, Lord. Keep me, Lord. Just two little words there. For I have sought thy precepts, you see. I'm yours. Save me. Save me. What a sweet, it's just so simple and so sweet. I want to read, share with you, look over at Psalm, at this same Psalm, verse 145. The three verses there that are so good, 145, verse 145. I cried with all my heart, answer me, Lord. I will observe thy statutes. I cried to thee, save me, and I'll keep thy testimony. I will rise before dawn and cry for help. I wait for your words. See, that's heartfelt. That's the simplicity of a heart that is really seeking after God's instruction. And we all need to be that way. See, God's word is the only hope we have.
Yes.
Amen. Let me say it to you again. Some of you didn't hear me. God's word is the only hope we have.
Yes.
He has given us, Peter says this, and I just love it, he has given us precious, exceeding precious and magnificent promises whereby we may become partakers of the divine nature.
Hallelujah.
That's 2 Peter. Isn't that good? He has given us precious, magnificent promises whereby we may become partakers of the divine nature. We ain't going to be Christ, but we're going to be children. How many of you know you got your mom and daddy's nature? Haven't you?
Yes.
Well, you're going to have daddy's nature. You're going to have Heavenly Father's nature. We walk by the Spirit, we'll be sons of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. They'll be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who seek after righteousness, for they'll be filled. See, it all depends on what we want out of this thing. If we turn a deaf, careless, indifferent, slothful ear, and boy, I get so... It's just amazing the stories that people tell you about why they don't go to church and why they don't come to Bible study, why they can't make it to Sunday school. I tell you, it's just, you know, I want to say, well, you must take me for some kind of a fool. I'm not the world's brightest person.
Because it's in their first love.
This Jesus said, I'm going to tell you something, friends. This is a scary thing. Let me tell you something. Jesus talked about the lukewarm Christian. You know what he said? The King James, old King James says, I will spew you out of my mouth. But the new King James says, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. It makes him sick in our slothful indifference, lukewarm attitudes toward his word, toward his church, toward his commandments. Is that the way you interpret that?
Well, he qualified that to June in the last verse. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. But he doesn't say destroy them.
No, he doesn't destroy them. He said, but if you don't repent, he says you have to repent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you've got to change your. And he's got to be first. His glory he will not share with another. He's got to be the glory of your life. You cannot give him glory and give something else glory and expect his blessing. I mean, that's just the way it is. It's like I believe Joe said, it's all or nothing in all. That's harsh, isn't it? But you interpret that like that? With my whole heart, all your might, all your soul, all your strength. And then it says, and your neighbors yourself, on these two hang all. This is what the Bible's all about. It's what he's saying. This is in the 22nd chapter of Matthew's Gospel. You see, and it's really a commandment that we abide by to love God and to love each other. Old John Wesley said, do all the good you can to everybody you can, every time you can, and put yourself last. That's the fulfillment of loving your neighbor as yourself. Do everything good you can, for everybody you can, anytime you can, and put yourself last. Paul says, in honor, preferring one another. I have sought thy precept. The wicked, here he goes back to the persecution again in verse 95. The wicked wait for me to destroy me. But he says, notice what he says. I don't know what it says in your translation, but the New American Standard says, I will diligently. How many of you have diligently in your Bible? In verse 95, look at it. The wicked wait for me to destroy me. I shall diligently consider thy testimony. Anybody have another word besides diligently?
Ponder.
Consider. But say, does the word diligently there? No. Diligently consider thy testimonies. The enemy cannot destroy me as long as I know your word. When I consider your protection, your promise. Now, you know, the thing about it is they could shoot you down and kill you in an instant, but you wouldn't be destroyed. You'd just change addresses. See, that's the promise. You'll never taste death. You just change estates. And you won't be destroyed. That's a beautiful promise, isn't it? I've seen a limit to all perfections. I've seen everything perfect. I know that everything, oh, I've just seen it all. I mean, I've seen it all. But your commandment is exceedingly broad. See, he sees an end. The word perfection there means everything that there is the world to see, all experiences, all vanity, all success, all wealth, all substance, all glamour. I've seen it all. I've seen the limit. That ain't going to fill the bill. That won't satisfy me, he's saying. That just can go so far. But your commandment is exceedingly broad. It includes all and more than all of this. I have a note to read that in the Amplified Bible. That verse 96 in the Amplified Bible. The Amplified amplifies it. How many of you have an Amplified Bible? It's a wonderful investment, isn't it? It really, and the scholars say that it's the nearest thing to the original Greek. I don't know anything about the original Greek, but if the scholars say it, that's all right. And the New Testament was written in Greek, and the Old Testament translated into Greek. But this verse 96 in this says, and it's so beautiful. I have seen that everything human has its limits and end. And no matter how extensive, how noble, how excellent, but your commandment is exceedingly broad and exceeds without limit into eternity. Isn't that rich? Everything human ends in humanity, but God's commandment extends into eternity. Do you ever think about eternity? It begins when we close our eyes in death, and it never ends. Isn't that amazing? It never ends. And there are two destinations. And you know that. We don't need to expand on that. But everything that man does is limited. Has just so much power, just so much worth, and no more. But he said God's word goes right on into eternity. That's a good enough tribute for the word of God right there, isn't it? Oh, how I love thy law. How many of you love the law? How many of you love the word? How many of you deem it more necessary than your food? How many of you find it sweeter in your mouth than the honeycomb? How many of you would trade, wouldn't give up this word if you had to give up everything else in your life? I mean, the word. The word is God. It is God's word. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. And nothing else really matters. It is my meditation. Well, now here is something that we really need to improve on. We get to meditating on what's on sale at Winn-Dixie. We get to meditating on what we're going to tell them when we see them. We get to meditating on getting to that shoe sale. We get to meditating on all the aggravating problems of life. We get to meditating on the stock market, maybe. But I'm going to tell you what. Such meditations will only bring you more aggravation. Is that right? Mm-hmm. For example, you go to Winn-Dixie, you pay 88 cents for it. What if you'd gone to Del Champ, you'd get it for 74? Right. You went to tell them off and get it all settled. But they told you off before you could open your mouth. I'm talking to you about life and the way it is. Well, I had this insurance, you know, with this company, and they didn't do very well. I should have done it with that other company. But you've already had your problem, so, you know, you've already been settled with, so there's no use to worry about what might have been. That is one of the saddest expressions of humanity, it might have been. It could have been. And if only. See, don't meditate on that. Meditate on God's word. This is a beautiful verse. He says, meditation, you see, is a constant contemplation. It never leaves you. Let me tell you something to do. I've learned to do this, and it really works. When it looks like you can't make it, you know, you're scalded, been out of shape and everything, just start singing an old hymn. Just recite to yourself, through Christ I can do all things. Just remind yourself, in him we're more than conquerors. It helps you, doesn't it? It brings you out of that darkness, out into his marvelous light. It just really does. You know what meditation is? I use that. You girls that listen, I need to share this with you. It's the cow and the cud. Anybody in here country enough besides me and Troy to know what a cud is? Cow eats, you know. Cow eats, swallows it, and she brings it back up. And she chews, and she chews, and she chews, and she chews, and she gets the strength out of that food that she's eating. That's the way we ought to do the Word of God. We ought to hear it, read it, speak it, then never forget, bring it back up. Bring it back up. And just let it go over and over and over in our conscience and our mind. Psalm says, thy word have I hid in my heart. It's not just in my head, it's got to be hid in my heart.
Yes.
It becomes an attitude when it's down in you. I want to give you girls a little copy I passed out. Everybody else that doesn't have it says, watch your thoughts to become your attitudes. You know, you've seen that. Let me read to you, and then we'll stop. It's 11:30. Let me read to you just a moment out of Psalm number 1. Look back in your Bible. Turn back 118 Psalms to Psalm number 1. I'm just getting fired up.
Yes.
Psalm number 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Now notice it doesn't say he shuns the wicked. It doesn't say he looks down on the wicked. It says he doesn't walk after his ways. You hear me? You don't do what you see him do. You pity him. You pray for him. You tell him about Jesus. But you don't seek his lifestyle. You don't walk in his ways. No, you don't stand in the path of sinners. You don't walk with them either. You don't get out there where they are and stand with them and agree with what they do. Nor sit in the seat of scoffers or scorners. Oh, there's a lot of people that scorn and scoff and make fun of Jesus and make fun of us. Don't spend your time with them. Pray for them. Leave them alone. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. This is a man that's blessed now. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. Isn't that beautiful? You ever wake up in the night and think about a scripture? If you wake up in the night and think about how, you know, horrible everything is, we'll just get you a scripture and hold on to it. I remember when the Fontenots moved to Siberia, the first thing Nanette did was to find as many different Bible pictures and Bible verses and little things out of the scripture and put them all everywhere, just everywhere. I guess she still got them up all over the walls. So that everybody that comes in there, that's the first thing they see, is something from the Word of God. So that's what we need. We need to keep that right out in front of us forever. Now here's what it's going to be like. It's going to be like a tree planted by the water. You're not going to be like some little old sapling, some little old brush, you know, that's going to just fall away every time the wind blows. It's going to be like a tree planted by the streams of water and yields its fruit in its season. Its leaves doesn't wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. That doesn't mean he's going to make a mint of money, but that means all of his ways will be prosperity. God will bless everything he does. Isn't that beautiful? The thing that puzzles me is why we don't really understand and see and really put this word in the place that the Bible says it should be. Our delight must be in the law of the Lord. Oh, how I love it. Well, we stopped at 97. Anybody got any questions or comments? Anybody want to disagree? I think you'd be on dangerous ground because that's the Word of God. My Word doesn't amount to much.
Oh, it does.
But His Word is all powerful.
I thank God for cancer because I had it in 1971.
Did everybody sign the Get Well card? Thank you for coming. See you next Tuesday. December the 7th.